Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me ask you, is the Holy Spirit welcome here?
Yes.
You feel His presence this morning? Glad that you are here with us this morning. It's just been a great week, been a busy week. God has been busy in Abilene, Texas. And I'm excited about that. If you are visiting with us this morning, I want to especially welcome you. Glad that you are here and offer to you. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would really like to know that you are here and get to know you. And we want to love each other at Wylie Methodist Church. So you can fill that out. You can, if you'd like to be on our email list, put your email down there. Check the little box that you'd like to be on our email list at the end of the service. You can bring that with you. I'll be out in the foyer. Down at this end, I have a free gift for you. We'd love to meet you, get to know you. Or you, if you'd rather not do that, you can leave the card there in the seat. Also, just kind of keep those registrations pads going at the end of the row. How many of you tried out our login with the app this morning? Anybody? Anybody over 30 do that? Man, I can go way up with you, Robert. Never mind. Glad that you're here this morning. If you will turn with me to Matthew 28, and I want to also, before we read God's Word, I want to tell you that next Sunday, the 23rd, I'm going to have a discovery class. You should have gotten word of that in email, and we have it on our, should be in our bulletin, it should be on our screens, but I just want to remind you next week, discovery class at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And that, if you want to know more about our church, how you can get involved, who we are, and what we believe, and so forth, be here next Sunday at 9 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. This is the very end of the book of Matthew, and Jesus has gone to the cross. He's been resurrected. He spent 40 days on the earth, and he is coming to the end of his time on this earth. And we pick it up in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Who do we worship, by the way? Hello, anybody? We worship God. So they recognized Jesus as God. They worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Father, we are humbled at your love for us. And Holy Spirit, we are glad that you're here with us. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are continuing the sermon series that I started last week. The sermon series is Go, Go. And this week is go and make. Go and make. Last week we talked about going and telling. When I read the story where Jesus cast out the demons from the man and into the pigs, and the pigs ran over a cliff, and the man who had been freed from this demonic possession wanted to go with Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? "Oh, don't come with me. Go and tell what I've done for you. Go and tell what I've done for you." And so, Trevor mentioned earlier, and I love that we are the righteousness of Christ. One of the things, he didn't kind of go any deeper in that, but one of the things that this program he was watching said was, when we have a heaviness on us, when there's something going on in our lives that we need it to just say that over and over, "I'm the righteousness of Christ." No, I'm the righteousness of Christ. Just keep saying that. So if we are the righteousness in Christ this morning, church, we have something very special that we can share. Amen. Did you know that? It's not just for us. It's not just for us. God didn't just come. He didn't send Jesus just to come and save us just for us. He says, go and tell. Go and make. And so we know this passage this morning that we're going to unpack it a little bit is known as the
Great Commission.
The Great Commission. The Great Commission. I love one of my favorite passages out of John chapter 1. It says this. The apostle Andrew, who had been a disciple of John the Baptist, it said when he found Jesus, his first response, when he came to recognize Jesus as this Messiah, his first response was this. John chapter 1, beginning verse 41, he says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. Don't you love that? I mean, because obviously Andrew must have loved Simon, and it's like, man, I found the Messiah. I have something special to share. So he sought out his brother, whom he loved, and he said, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. That's it, guys. That's it. When we experience who God is, when we experience the living Christ, we ought to want to shout that from the mountaintops, and we certainly should want to tell everyone that we care about. Now, God pushes us even further that we should even love our enemies, but we certainly should share Christ with those that we love. So I guess I want to ask the question before I really start unpacking this scripture a little bit. Are we consumers or are we servants? Hello, and a hush falls over the crowd. Are we consumers or are we servants? I mean, because if we just receive the love of Christ and we stick it in our pocket and we just leave it there, it's like, hey, I've done this before. Anybody still got their ticket to heaven that we did a year or two ago? I forgot who it was. I did a funeral for someone the other day, and their family brought their Bible out, and they had their little ticket to heaven in their Bible. I don't even remember who that was. But I was making the illustration that do we get our ticket, and do we just put it in our pocket, and are we consumers of that? No, Jesus says, go and tell. Go and make. Go out. He's sending us out. So let's look at this great commission a little bit closer. The Great Commission is for those who worship Jesus as Lord. In verse 17 today, it said that Jesus, first of all, we need to point out that Jesus had told them to go to this mountain, and they did what he said to do. They went where he said to go. So they were there waiting on him. And it said there, when they saw him, they worshiped him. So this commission, this great commission that we're getting ready to look at, it's for believers. It's not for the people that don't know Christ. They have not been given a commission to go and tell, go and to make. No, we have, those who have placed their faith in Christ. So it's for us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Great Commission is for you. And nobody's excluded. Nobody's excluded. Secondly, the Great Commission is possible because Jesus has empowered us. Jesus has empowered us. Now, in verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It's like, I have all authority and power. It's been given to me. Therefore, what do you do when you see the word therefore? You go back to see what it's there for. He's given us a task. Therefore, do something. Anytime you see the word therefore, it's like he's telling us to do something because something else is factual. He's saying, since I have had all power, all authority, since I had that and I dwell in you, and I've been given all this power and authority, therefore, he's going to give us the Great Commission. So we need to understand that we are empowered to do this. Billy spoke earlier about going out to the Revive Texas this week, and it was out of his comfort zone. And Billy's in ministry, and it's out of his comfort zone. And I get that because there are things that are out of my comfort zone in ministry as well. But we'll talk. We're going to dig a little bit deeper on that in just a second. As Jesus in Acts chapter 1, as Jesus was preparing to go back to the Father, and he's preparing to send the Holy Spirit, here's what he says: You will receive power, there it is, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to Abilene, Texas. No, it doesn't say that. It says to the ends of the earth. Well, some people would say Abilene, Texas is the end of the earth. Maybe not. So, we will receive power and authority through Christ by the filling of His Holy Spirit to go and be His witnesses, to go. Church, we are not called to just come and sit in a pew. Do we know that? Shake your head if you know that. We're not called to just be consumers and just to come and to be making notes. It's like, how can this place bless me? I mean, we do that, don't we? Cheryl and I have at different times in our lives we've been shopping for churches and it's kind of natural. It's like, well, let's see, what kind of children's ministry do they have? Do I like the music? Do I like the preacher? And I know, of course, I know all of that, you know, is overwhelmingly yes for all of y'all. But you know, we make a checklist, don't we? And that's okay. It's okay to find the right place, but do we ask the Lord? Lord, is this where you'd have me serve? Uh-oh. Is this where you would like to place me so that I can be effective, an effective disciple in your kingdom? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. Thirdly, Jesus commissions and empowers His followers. He remember the therefore says, since I have all power and all authority, therefore, he gives us assignments. And the first one is, go and make disciples. Now, I dug a little bit deeper. We say that word disciple, and I don't think we really think about what that means. So I dug a little bit deeper. I want to give you a few little ways to define that. Probably just a basic understanding of disciple is a person who accepts and adheres to and spreads the teachings of another. But taking it deeper into a biblical sense, in the ancient biblical world, a disciple actively, now listen to this, this is important. When Jesus said these words, it was more this sort of a meaning. Actively imitates both the life and teaching of the master. There's an active imitation. You're trying to mirror that person who you are a disciple of. You're trying to become just like them. And a deliberate apprenticeship is what you would say, which made the fully formed disciple a living copy of the master. In other words, what our goal is when they see me, they see Jesus. If I'm truly a mature follower, disciple of Jesus Christ, when they see me, when they see you, they should see Jesus. That's what we're being asked to go and make. Go and make disciples, fully formed, living copies of the Master. I've asked Kitten, Arthur. You up, Kitten? Where are you at, Kitten? Did she go home? Kitten, you didn't leave. Great. Kitten was one. We had several from our church that went out with Revive Texas this week, and I've asked Kitten to come and just share her experience a little bit. Oop.
Well, like Billy and like probably everybody sitting here, speaking truth, speaking gospel to people is not my forte. I can talk to y'all because y'all believe in Christ. But to go out was just amazing. We came in for the training at noon, and all these people that had gone out in the morning were witnessing about what had happened to them. And the entire time I was sitting there, my brain was thinking, I can't do this. I'm not this person. That's these people. They can do it. I can't do it. I'm saying it the whole time till we get in the car and go with our little team. And I'm going to try to make this short, but we went to Abilene Regional, and we had a team of four, Richard and me, and then Tyler, who was our group leader from Revive Texas, and another woman who had been out a bunch. She was amazing. Her name was Debbie. Anyway, went out, and we found several people just to pray with and just pray over, and it was good. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can go with them. And then we ended up in the ER, and there was a couple that we saw and just prayed. But then we turned around. There's one girl. She's the only one left in the ER. Her name's Jacqueline. And young woman, 31, and Debbie, the other woman in our group, says, how can we pray for you? And so I'm in the preparation mode to pray for healing. And she says, well, I lost my husband in July. And I'd lost my mom 6 months before that. So I'm already starting to tear up. And so we prayed over her. She said, you know, Debbie started praying. And by the end of her prayer, I was bawling and the girls bawling and Debbie was bawling. I don't know about Richard or not. I think he was a little misty. But anyway, she said, you know, I'm kind of mad at God. She had five children, and she's 31, and here's her life. And she's in the ER for being sick on top of all that. Fancy that. And she said, Debbie said, you know, it is terrible right now, but God has never left your side through this whole thing. And she started crying again and said, that's what my husband told me, that God would not leave me. And he kept telling me that the whole time. And so she said, she recommitted. And, you know, Revive Texas was so good because they took their information and they're following up with her. But that wiped me out. And so I was pretty much done for the day. But we walked out, and there was a young guy in the parking lot, and he had on his Beats, and he was dancing. He looked like David in front of the Ark coming into Jerusalem. He was all into himself at that time. And I said, I think we need to pray for him. See, so now I'm emboldened because it was like Jacqueline just opened up that floodgate. So we go over, and his granny's in surgery, and we pray for him, and he needs a job, and we prayed for that. And I was finished. I can't tell you all how many things I thought, okay, we've done it. We have gone out, we've talked, and we prayed for people. And Tyler said, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Again, I would never have said that. Because that's like prying. You know, somewhere in that brain, that's the devil, isn't it? He tells us, oh, don't ask that. That's being too personal. But that young man said, I don't know. And Tyler said, do you want to know? And he said, yes, I do. So we prayed. He accepted Christ there in the parking lot at Abilene Regional. And it was all about just having that boldness to go forward. And so that's been my prayer this whole week, that I would be, we're studying Joshua, be bold and courageous, to be bold and courageous to speak truth. I will tell everybody where to go eat because it's the best restaurant in the world. Why would I not tell them about Jesus? I don't get that in my brain. But I just want to, you know, I just know that it's not our job to convert everybody. It's our job just to tell them who Christ is and that he loves them. And I can do that. And when you, here's the end of that. When you're obedient in that, then all of a sudden, I mean, since that Monday, God has put like four or five people in front of me. I didn't have to go seek them out at Abilene Regional to pray over. And it's that instead of saying, I will pray for you, my new goal, my new covenant with God is to say, I want to pray for you right now. And so Revive has been good for me personally. I just hope that everybody that participated has found the same thing, and we can do this. This church is the hands and feet of Christ. Now we just need to be the voice as well.
You know, Revive Texas has been here to kind of train us and equip us. I mean, but we don't, I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but we don't need Revive Texas to share the gospel, to share the good news. I don't have permission to say this, but she's married to me, so she has to forgive me. But we had a guy that was painting the numbers on our curb this week, and my wife went out and got to know him and prayed for this man painting. I mean, it's just life, guys. It's just everyday life. People that, as Kitten said, people that God puts in front of you, it's like, man, I've said this before, but there are hurting people everywhere that need Jesus. And we have it. We have the secret. We have the formula. We have Jesus Christ. Just a few more of the things that just amazing Revive Texas came, they came with one purpose. They didn't ask for any money. They didn't ask for anything. They just came. It's like, hey, we want to come alongside y'all, and we want to go out and spread the gospel in your community and ask the Lord to bless your community. And here's some of the fruit of that. Just a bit, Billy mentioned over 600 and how many?
665.
Over 600. I didn't hear the last part. But over 600 people came to Christ through this effort in the last week. Just a few things I picked up on watching some live casts on Facebook. They went to Hardin-Simmons and talked to the football team out there, and there was 90 football players, and you know, one courageous young man on the football team at Hardin-Simmons stood up and said, "Yeah, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior." I mean, you know, that's, who knows, that may be the next Billy Graham. You just don't know what God's going to do with this guy. Then he went to Wiley Middle School, to FCA. They went, and there was 175 students, and 63 of them stood up to accept Christ. Now, there was, in some of these cases where there's so many, they told me one story where, you know, like three-fourths of the group stood up, and they said, "No, y'all sit back down. I don't think you understood my question, you know, or my request here." And so they put out the gospel again, and they let it out there. And those same kids stood up, and it's like, "Okay, well, I think you got it. I think you really did want Jesus as your Lord and Savior." They went to Madison Middle School, and they had 120 students. 53 gave their life to Christ. Went to Clyde FCA, 3 out of 20 students. Mann Middle School, 4 out of 20 gave their life to Christ. And I love this one. R&R Tire. I don't know who R&R Tire is, but obviously a little tire store. And they were talking about there was 5 employees, and the owner let them come and share the gospel to these 5 employees. 3 of the 5 already knew the Lord. The other 2 accepted the Lord while they were there. So now he's got a full staff of people on staff at R&R Tire that all know the Lord. Jesus commissions and empowers us to go and make disciples. And we, you know, we're not all big talkers. Some of us do that differently. We do it fine, but man, it's about surrendering to the Lord. It's like, how would you have me to make disciples? Some of you are, you know, it could be just taking a meal. I know many of you that take a meal to people who are hurting, and you're loving on people in that way. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And then secondly, Jesus commissions and empowers his followers to baptize them. You know, it's part of the Great Commission is to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, this was radical stuff when Jesus gave this commission in his time, in that biblical time. It was radical stuff to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son. So once again, Jesus is saying, when you see me, you've seen God. It was radical stuff. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus commissions and empowers his followers to teach them. So we don't, one of the cool things that Revive Texas has done is just like, you don't just lead this gentleman in the hospital parking lot. You just don't lead him to the Lord and put a notch on your Bible and walk away. They take his information. It's like, we want to disciple you. We want to teach you about Jesus. We want to teach you what his word has to say. So there's that ongoing disciple-making process that he is calling us to be a part of. And then finally, I love this. The Great Commission comes with a promise. Jesus is always with us. And Cheryl pointed this out to our community group this past week, and I loved it, and I told her I was going to steal it. You know, the book of Matthew, in chapter 1, if you look at the very beginning of the book of the Gospel of Matthew, it says, and then it's an angel quoting the Old Testament, the prophecy of Christ, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he was proclaiming the birth of Christ, that Christ would be God with us. And then in Matthew 28, at the very end of the Great Commission, Jesus himself says, "And surely I am with you always." To God with us, Emmanuel, he's with us. And that he will be with us always to the very end of the age. It says in John this way, I will not leave, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He lives in you and will be with you. Church, we have an incredible gift in our hands. His name is Jesus. And we are commissioned to go and make disciples, to go and tell what Jesus has done for us. If you just bow your heads with me. Father, I just pray. Father, I know that fear comes up in us, wells up in us when we think about this. But you did not give us a spirit of fear. We know that fear is from the enemy. We pray that you'd give us this power that you have promised us, this authority that you have promised us. We pray that you give us courage. You'd show us, as Kitten said, you'd place people right in front of us that need you, that need the love of Christ. Teach us how. May we, Father, when as a church, corporately, may we be disciple makers. May we be fruitful. And may we be faithful. So empower us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.